in a museum, but a lower bench where people would sit. And that's apparently where these Essenes sat, writing the words of God's word. They even found ink wells with the remnants of ink, the last ink still in the inkwell. And these people would sit, much like the scribes in Israel do to this day, writing every single word of God's word with great care. In fact, the practice is, it basically takes four people to write the word of God. Somebody stands with the text. He reads the first word, Genesis 1:1, in. Person looks over the shoulder to say, that's right. Somebody writes, in. Somebody looks over their shoulder to say, ah, he wrote it right. And if there's one mistake, even if it's the last letter of the book after 6 months or 6 years writing, even one mistake, you can't use the book. You take it and you bury it in something called a geniza, where you put sacred objects that have the name of God on them or in them, and you put it away and you start over. Now, you can say that's ridiculous. Well, there is something ridiculous about that, but let me challenge you. I don't think that's ridiculous at all. I think that's amazing for two reasons. One, you remember that Bible you held up when Pastor Jeff led us in a commitment to the Word? What do you think God used to give that book the trustworthiness that you can count on it being the Word of God even today? It's these people who kept that book so you can hold it up and say, I know, even if I don't always understand it, and I certainly don't always obey it, I know that this book is the Word of God. And if it hadn't been for them, you couldn't count on that. And people like them, obviously. Second, it's the Word of God. How can, one of the things that drives me crazy in my own heart is how tritely we deal with the Word of God, as if somehow it's, take it or leave it, and I sloppily handle it. These people understood the amazement that God came and spoke. And those weren't just words, Deuteronomy 30, these are your life, O Israel. And that awesome commitment to the sacredness of God's word, I don't see in the mirror when I look at myself in the morning. And as a teacher with a lot of Christian kids, I don't see it in the community I'm in like I wish I did either. The passion for the word of God in these people is absolutely unbelievable. They took that word of God as being everything, and their whole world revolved around it. So when they thought there was a danger, they took those sacred scrolls and they hid them. Here's a cave where some were found. Most of them were found in the caves that are cut into that clay nose, they call it, that sticks out into the wadi. You can see the wadi on the right, and there's cave number 4 and cave number 5. Half of the scrolls were found in those two caves. Let me take you, more than 960, probably, that some are so tiny pieces, they're not exactly sure how many there were, but I believe more than 960 of those scrolls were found because those people were 100% committed to the Word of God. That's two. Three, let me take you to another place called the dining hall. They practiced a sacred meal in that L-shaped structure, at least on this artist's rendering of that L-shaped structure, this long, narrow room. They believe that that was where they held their messianic banquet. The idea, apparently, of this group of people was, when the Messiah comes, he will hold an eternal banquet. Very much like the Bible talks about the second coming of Jesus being a wedding reception and the great feast, the heavenly feast that is to come. And so they would gather to rehearse, to hold this banquet to anticipate the Messiah's banquet that was to come. And the host would break bread and offer a cup and pass it around as a celebration and an anticipation of the Messiah's banquet to come. Now, I hope you immediately pick up on, that's not identical to the Last Supper by any means, but there's no question there are some very intriguing similarities, both in terms of the elements, bread and wine, and in terms of the whole idea that the Messiah's banquet to come Jesus said, do this until I come. I will not drink this wine until I drink it new in the kingdom of heaven. Seems to me Jesus was hinting at the same thing.